Welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show. This podcast is sponsored by the Growth Platform Framework. B2B FinTech startups accelerate customer acquisition and set up business operations to scale systematically. When you're ready to grow, reach out to us at richard@ipractitioners.com. Now, over to the show with Richard Dosey, founder and host. Hey, what's up? Today on the show, we have Gerard Burnell, co-founder of Balio. Prior to launching Balio, Gerard held positions as a CEO and COO in tech companies and has also, over the years, developed some really great insights and knowledge around the blockchain space. So really looking forward to going into detail as to his background and also his story around Balio. So listen, without further ado, Gerard, welcome and really great to have you on the show.
Thanks for the invitation, Richard. Great to see you in the FinTech Scaling Show. As you see, I'm Gerard Burnell, the CEO and co-founder of Balio, and I'm going to tell my story, why we founded Balio, and my past experience. I think all of this starts with a question: why we are here in life? I think it's really philosophical, but why we are here? We are here only to work in something that we are not passionate about. So when I was starting university, I was always searching for my dream job, not as a founder, as a worker. And I was working in one of the most promising fintech here in Spain. And when I was working, the dream comes true. It was not nice, as you imagine. So I was convinced that I needed to found a startup. And in this way, we started to make a tech consultancy. It's not your favorite product, but makes money and have any sense. We started in Barcelona, in the UPC, the Polytechnical, with the engineers. I'm not an engineer. I study economy and law, but my background of work was always with the engineers. So this story is not really interesting until in this UPC was one person who was the white hat of Ethereum, the blockchain network, and was really, really, really close to Vitalik Buterin, who is the founder. I remember the first, when people told me about the blockchain, I was thinking, okay, it's something to make international operations because I was working in financial exchanges. I say, no, man, it's more than that. It's a movement. And we were really close to the source of this movement. So I remember I co-founded a startup about video in, I remember now, Stork. It was a type of decentralized technology. And we were working with Ethereum technology and with NEM technology, another type of cryptocurrency. And I remember we were working for this type of cryptocurrency. The paying was in cryptocurrency, and cryptocurrency these days don't have the value that we have today, no, with all the hype in Bitcoin and Tesla. And all of this, the story, it's related with Balio because when all the hype comes in 2017, yeah, the game changed totally because I was working for $50 per hour. And when because we was taking in cryptocurrency, it can go to 2,000 per hour like this in the acquisitive power. So with all of this, every person who was in this group comes to his real essence. You know what I'm talking about? When you have the money to make whatever you want, it's possible that your life changes. In my case, it don't change a lot because I was searching for making things that I really enjoy. I passed 2 years making, for example, the first project in blockchain in Spain with the Repsol. I take it, for example, I take it the license of private pilot and things like this. And at least I was thinking, okay, this is all in life. It's have a nice car, or have a nice house, or it's more. And I was thinking about the freedom that I take it with the money and with my good movement of my personal finances, not only in cryptocurrency, using my common sense. And talking with other persons who are in similar positions, for example, my co-founder, Sergi, who has one of the most promising startups. It's a e-commerce, but promising startup in Spain. And we were talking to create something related to personal finances to help people to think that life is not about taking things like houses, cars, or whatever, this lifestyle. It's more about make whatever you want and have freedom. And that's how we start Value. I quit all my tech work and making this type of consultancy and I start Value. Of course, selling my lifestyle, selling my car, buying a Xiaomi, an electrical scooter, and all of this.
I know, like, really awesome background then. I mean, tell me, I mean, you mentioned the searching part of your story. Can you tell me a bit more about what you were going through when you were searching for what you actually wanted to do?
Mm-hmm. All starts only with an idea of improve personal finances. And the first we think, it's okay, I have a co-founder that has experience in startups. I have experience in some part of digital money, but I'm not an expert. We need a person who is an expert of personal finances. And searching in the Spanish network, we try and we accomplish the best blogger of personal finances in Spain. The best was Guillem. So we make it an offer that they cannot refuse. He cannot refuse that offer because it was like, we don't have a product. You are the mind of the product. You are working now in the pharma sector or something like that you are not really enjoying it. You have a lot of money because you made it really well with the blogs and with the affiliation program and all of this. So why not join with us and create something incredible? And in this path, we start with something really simple, a simple idea. We have blogs that are really famous in Spain and we have like 1 million of traffic users, unique traffic users. These persons that are only traffic, no? It's not a person who are registered in your application or something like that. Why not resolve his problem? Because every day, Guillem was receiving emails about typical and general questions. What I can do with my money, whatever. And with that in mind, I will say, okay, we cannot stay every day responding these emails. Why don't come all this traffic and create a forum? And that's the first idea. And the idea was, it was a strategy to market validation. You can make tests or whatever, or you can create an online community. It's not something that every product can make, but an idea that we're taking, take this FIRE movement in the United States, financial independence, retirement, early movement. And with all this philosophy comes to the Value philosophy, like comes to this forum in a group. It's not a product, it's a philosophy. I'm talking about this because it's possible that persons that are listening the podcast say, okay, the holy grail of create a product, make an online community. Can be, but it's more than that. You need to create a philosophy that people want to come with us. For example, there are communities about babies. Like I have child and all of this because it's a huge part of life. The same with personal finances. And that's our first product in Value. It's not a product. It's a more about market validation, but was our first step, create the forum and the community.
And when you're talking about philosophy, I was wondering what you guys mean by that. And then also, how have you gone about approaching building that philosophy?
Mm-hmm. It's a complicated question, but I always say we don't create nothing. This movement was starting in the United States, I think, with people in Valley who have incredible salaries. And I don't know, I think one person one day says, hey, I don't want to stay 5 more years working like that in one of the huge startups. Why not come with this incredible salary, save 90% or 80%, start investing in something really simple, diversified, low commissions like index funds. And with that, I can return really early in 5 or 10 years and go to a part of, not another country, in a part of United States that the cost of life is really cheap. And that's all. And that's all. So with that idea, I think Tim Ferriss stays with that idea and comes to Reddit, starts this FIRE movement. So this philosophy, it's only a copycat from United States to Spanish countries. It's our first differentiation. We are only making all of this in Spain or in Spanish language. Why? Because here it's a lack of financial education, terrible. I think more than the English countries. because here people are scared about investing and all of this. And yeah, only to concrete, you know that it's really difficult to go to the FIRE movement without invest. It's practically impossible.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, you guys have gone through that searching phase. You built out a product and an offering based off a philosophy and a point of view, ultimately, that you've imported. So tell us, how have you approached that product vs market fit question then? Because it would be, I guess it would be quite an interesting ride, right?
Yeah. A lot of this of community was to test minimum viable products to look for market fit. Because a community have a time of life. It's not a product. So the first we made it was, okay, if people need no knowledge of personal finances, it's because they don't have a plan. We want to create a plan that it is scalable, blah, 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 blah. And the first step was, okay, put your information, and we offer two lines, the free line and the paid line. It totally goes to the free line. No one's able to pay for a plan, a financial plan. Our business model in that moment was make an affiliate program, like, okay, this is your plan, invest here, here, here. Always investing in places with low commissions, index funds, robot advisors, all of this. And the learn of this is, it was really cheap and really fast, the learning. We made 7,000 plans in 3 months. And in the 3 months, we noticed that people who start the plan in the 3 month, the monthly active user ratio decreased dramatically. So that was a good idea to like a tool to use 2 weeks, but it's not a product that you can make a startup of this. So one really good thing we actually extract of all of this is the all the information we know it about the 7,000, about 250 million of euros of information, not information, of asset location. So with that, we know it, our public. We know, okay, this is the people we have here. This is his needs. We will start to create another product and making every Friday a meeting that was calling monetizing meeting, something like that. I don't really remember the name, but and with every investor we have in our company, because we make it a pre-seed investment with one of the best funds here in Spain of index funds. With that, we arrived to a really, really easy conclusion. It's okay, people have a lack of knowledge. Why don't make financial courses, online courses that it's replicable, it's easy to scale it. And we make a pre-sale of all these courses because say, okay, what if no one buys the course? So we create an index, we make a discount ratio, and we sell, I don't remember, 200 courses in 2 days or something like that. I say, okay, now we need to create this course. We say 6 weeks created the course, and that's our first Value Academy. With that business model that was really great. It's not 0 to 1, but it's great. We start to prove the next big thing that was a social network. And these days we are discarding that. We proved it for 2 months and our property technology was really expensive. It's really difficult to monetize. In every country, every person have a different approach of personal finances. You know, it's not the same talking about personal finances in Spain that in Russia. In Russia now are really niche with Bitcoin and all of that, the stuff, because they have a politic monetary that restrict them to make investment in foreign countries. So it was 2 months of invest a lot of money in this social network to increase the team, all of this. And now we are discarding because it's really difficult to create a social network about money. So we are now returning to the courses, returning to our essence to improve the personal finances. And of course, the forum was more active and in the past, because we are making a lot of movement to create this social network. So we are now in the start again, but with a lot of knowledge, closing now a seed round of investment. So with more money to start now product based on this type of community. it's possible that in the next month, exploring this community and going through a subscription model, we arrive in a point that it can be interesting to create a transactional product. But don't know, I'm not sure about that, but it's a possibility. Interesting possibility that occurs 12 years ago in Germany in a bank that his name is Fidor Bank, who started from an online community to financial services.
I was wondering how you think the community side of things helps consumers on their journey.
Mm-hmm. It's a good question, because when you as a business are trying to make a message, this message is a message with an objective of selling or help. But, you know, every business wants to resolve a problem if the problem is really intense, better, like food. It's a huge problem, but it's a huge competence in that. And when you have a problem, you are trying to approach value. And with this value, you are trying part of this to monetize. When you are not creating an online community or a community, you are only making a bidirectional information. You are what to one customer. When you are creating online community with a good ideas, good product, good philosophy, the property customers are the ambassadors, and they are making all these answers. They are creating the brand that you are not able to create, but you don't really know why they want. That's why I think it's not a possibility. I think that in the future, every brand wants to have his property community of people who are really ambassadors, not for the money, because people are more empowered to create the services and products they want in the future.
Yeah, listen, I think you touched on some really salient points there around community building, and also longevity, right? I mean, mm-hmm. We don't just want to go in and out. We want to help our customers, and we want them to be on the journey with us, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's possible to talk about other podcasts. It's good, Richard. Yeah. The Andreessen Horowitz podcast has one episode who are talking about the holy grail of social fintech. It's incredible. You can see that these millennials, I'm a millennial, okay? So millennials are a different generation until they approach to the money and to the fintech services. So I think in the next 10 years, technology changed, but this new generational mind changed and increased this transactional movement.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. You can see it happening already right now. And as you move out of this product market fit discussion, and I guess part of your journey, how have you looked at growing your team? And from that perspective, I mean, maybe the question is more, what are you doing operationally to sort of support that growth?
Yeah, this is the most hard question you can make me, because team questions are really hard. It's really difficult to escalate a team, because when you say, okay, we are 7, I control all this team. When you double the team, it's crazy. It happens something miraculous that people start to decrease the economy of scale. The bureaucracy comes to a startup of 14 people. It's crazy. So I don't have a real solution of that. More than that, I have a learning that is, if you don't really, really need, imagine you have money because now you are in a Series A, okay. But it's possible in a mandatory way to make more huge the business through people. And it's possible that this is not the key. Here in Spain, we have a business, his name is Mil Anuncios, who are selected to 100 million of euros. And all the team was 8 persons. So it's better have really, really senior positions, not tech only, product. I think it's more important product like that, because if not, if you are only with tech persons, it's possible that your startups with money goes to his playground, okay? So be careful with that. Understand that a senior, it's possible better than 3 juniors. And of course, if you as a CEO don't have a clear vision, huge senior comes and makes the vision he have with his experience and whatever. But at least it's your startup, it's your dream, it's your way to make things. For me, my mistake is delegate this vision. That's why with the social network month, we increase the team, and now we are decreasing the team to start again with the first value, who was improve the people's life through financial education. So I don't have the question how to grow the team from 10 to 1,000.
Yeah, no, but listen, I think you may say, again, it's not always about numbers, but, you know, it's about efficiency, right? And part of that efficiency, I think you alluded to, is making people accountable to the vision. And also, I think it would be good to hear your views on this, making certain that there's no silos in the organization. You know, everyone's working in sync, product, tech, finance, you name it, we all running along the same path.
Yeah, it's difficult to make everyone the same way and not thinking individually. One good advice that one of our investors says, it's first of all, make everyone a part of your team with phantom share, with vision, with long-term vision, all of that. Okay. A lot of people don't understand phantom shares or option shares or whatever. But you as a CEO, you need to try to teach about that at the first. And the second, if you are not a profitable business, imagine, or you don't have business model, it's really, really, really dangerous to come scale the team. It starts to expend 50,000 euros per month without profitable and without business model. It's possible that a lot of startups come and a lot of neobanks start with that raise of money and pack off the business model, but I am not agree with that. I think it's better for us to have a profitable team. If you are profitable and you are increasing, okay, you can make a mistake, but you don't disappear and you don't disappear the money of the investors.
I like it. And just to explore this couple of suggestions you made there on phantom shares, I mean, I was wondering if you can tell us a bit more about that.
To every person who are listening to the podcast, and if you want to know more about phantom shares, of course, search in the internet, whatever, real fast way to learn about phantom shares. If you have phantom shares and your business are in a selling way, if one person says to me, the day we sell the business, every employee knows more than me about phantom shares. It's like lottery ticket, you know? The situation of a phantom share, it's basically you have an economic right to every selling part of a company.
Okay, and you know, that was some great insight. And I was just wondering if you could dive into a bit more detail about the phantom shares and explain to us what those are.
Mm-hmm. Of course, a lot of persons don't really understand phantom shares because they don't see the real value of having a part of a business. Phantom shares, it's really easy to understand. It's an economic right to take part of the money if the company have a liquidation moment. For example, selling or going to an exchange, like make an IPO. Okay, this is not normal, an IPO in Spain, but this is the best case scenario. One of our investors who was selling his company says that no one understands the phantom shares until the day the company was selling, that every employee was an expert of phantom shares. So it's that. And for the employee, it's really good to be part of the success of the company. For the entrepreneurs, it's really good because you can motivate and extra motivate every person who joined the company to make growth, to help to make this company multiplies per 10 or 100 times. So it's really aligned. But the big effort is to educate people to this. And in Spain, no ones are investing in stocks.
Okay. No, yeah, it totally makes sense. And also helps, I guess, with that alignment and that buy-in from not just execs, but also obviously all the employees, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So listen, as you continue to move your product and your business forward. I was wondering what approach or what processes you are putting in place such that your product continuously evolves.
Okay, it's a good question. To evolve the basically, we are making three things. One, we are always looking for our competitor, for the market. What is happening now? Why are they trying to make effort to imagine to Bitcoin now, talking about Bitcoin? And of course, all the market who is going through selling products to a subscription model, more like in a SaaS, no? All of these, it's really important to understand how to evolve your product. The second part, the innovation part, you need to listen to all your customers, not to listen to sell more things, to listen because it's possible that they don't want to buy more. It's possible that they want other things, because it's interesting because we are talking about the financial freedom, but if you sell a lot to your customers, they are losing financial freedom. Yeah, they are learning a lot, but it's a ratio that you need to be really consistent. For us, if you want to make a change or you need to make a change, communicate to the community. Communicate, for example, now with social network we were trying to make. The next week, we are going to communicate to all the community that we are making big effort, but we can make a mistake too. The mistake was at the point of 3 points, basically, and we communicate that to the community. So with that, and with an open channel to communicate with them, and if you understand what are they trying to say, it's really, really useful to understand the next product or the next move or the next big player to join with. Imagine that now it's crypto. Okay, so I need to search for the big player in crypto who can provide me the service to give this service to the community. Always with this confident trust we have with Valio and the customers.
Yeah, I think, again, some really salient points there. Communication, not just communication internally, communication sort of back to the community and using them as the guidepost as to where to go next, right?
Mm-hmm.
As you guys move forward, what questions are you asking yourself? And what factors are you considering as you continue on that growth path?
Mm-hmm. Because we start all of this as a passion. We don't want to lose that passion, making only growth because our investor wants to make value grow really huge. Every step we make, it's based on if it's necessary to our community to make the step. Imagine, now we have an innovators and early adopters. For us, we can raise a lot of money and take this experience and trying to go to the mass market, or we can take all of these early adopters and convert them into ambassadors to be the first part of the strategy to go to the mass market. So for us, it's not growing by growing. It's growing if our early adopter and customer are too excited and want to share what is happening now, why they are more closing to financial freedom than before me knowing value. So I don't know if I'm making the question right or...
Yeah, no, it makes complete sense. I mean, there's different parts to consider as you go up that growth path, right?
Mm-hmm.
And tell me, I guess, through your own experience previous to Valio and also obviously now the Valio experience, what do you think is the most important bit of information you would want our listeners to understand that are either going through that sort of scaling bit of their business right now or on the cusp of that?
For me, you can have in your head that you want a unicorn company. But this is not that happens in your head. Not every startup needs to be a unicorn. Not every startup needs to raise 100 million euros. You have your passion. You need to identify in yourself what you want to do with your life. And if this is really huge in a value, but not in a monetization way, don't try to pervert that model. For us, it's really important to, if it needs to be really huge, it's because the community, it's because the product are making this huge. But for me, my real tip is don't try to accelerate because the market says you need to accelerate because private equity needs huge valuations to his LPs. understand what you want in your life. And if you want to play that game, be sure that you understand that you are playing a hot potato here in, says in Spain. And you are, for me, you are not creating value. You are trying to speculate with that. For me, it's really different. So my tip is know what you want. And if you are trying to speculate, okay, let's go. But don't try to say that you are creating value to the market.
I love that tip. I mean, it's just, I think it cuts through, for want of a better word, cuts through the crap and just goes right to the heart of it. Yeah, if you want to create a business, create it for yourself and add value to your customers, right?
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of huge startups that fails making millions of losses to investors and to society. And economy, it's based on scarcity. We don't want to stay every 3 years to the big scam or to something like that. I'm totally sure that no one's need to be a billionaire. No one's, it's unnecessary. I think it's one of these type of needs of making more and have more power and all of that. I think it's destroying the humanity. It's really philosophical, but I'm sure about that.
Yeah, listen, and it's a definitely a cool train of thought, I believe. And listen, I mean, I know you are getting to know you, obviously, outside of the show and during the show. You sound like a person, and you are a person that continuously learns, continuously looks out for opportunities to learn. And in that respect, I mean, maybe you've recently read a book or you're reading a book right now that you think other listeners would enjoy and like reading. I'd like to ask you if you can recommend something to the people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's totally different about personal finances. It's a famous book I'm reading now, Why We Sleep. I don't know if you know that book, Richard, Why We Sleep.
I do know.
Yeah, for me, it's key point because everyone in life wants to be happy. And we try to stay fit with sports. We try to learn a lot, to stay with people who love, whatever. But if you are not sleeping well, you are dramatically decreasing your capacity to be happy, your capacity to love. So for me, it's basically stay, rest with you and rest with your sleep. It's, I don't know, I'm every day reading this, thinking about the importance of something that 2 months ago, I was not making consideration. Like I can sleep 3 hours or 4 hours per day. And that's not, you know, like Usain Bolt that makes 100 meters of acceleration. Life, it's not about that. It's about stay in the weekend, relaxed way, sleep well, and that. So my advice and my book, it's not about personal finances. It's about your making your time a good moment.
I think we can all have empathy to that and all want to do that a bit more, I think, especially nowadays, right? Especially with everything that's going on. But listen, I mean, I've really loved our chat today, and sorry for some of the technical problems, I'll say that, but it's been awesome. It's been nice to go into not just the hard side of running a business, i.e. the processes and structures that we all need to think about, but also the softer, more philosophical side, i.e. you know, your purpose, which is, it's been really awesome to explore that with you. So, you know, thanks for coming on the show. But before we shut down and log off for the day, how can the people and the community get in touch with you if they so wish to?
I'm open it in LinkedIn. If you or the community speak in Spanish, you can write in Spanish, they can participate in the Balio forum. And of course, I have my email, gerard@balio.app. So I'm open it to questions, to whatever, to discuss about philosophy of the world. Thank you for your invitation, Richard.
It's been amazing. And listen, I definitely would love to get you back on the show at some point in time and maybe jump into some of the topics that we raised today. I think it'll be an amazing episode again.
Thank you, Richard. Bye-bye.